We have to emphasize that the people are not booing in the audience. If you've never seen Springsteen before, they are saying, Bruce. A lot of the show, obviously, is visual. He's doing an incredible number with the audience, shaking their hands as he's doing some of the songs, and then just sticking the mic out and letting them sing the choruses. He is probably, in terms of artists who relate to the audience, the tops at that. He really lets them carry the show, and it goes just as high as they want to have it. John Scheer is on stage now. We want to mention the fact that WNAW-FM in New York is carrying the broadcast, as well as WHFS in Bethesda, Maryland. In Baltimore, it's WIYY, WBCN in Boston, WIOQ in Pennsylvania, that's a Philadelphia station, WCCC in Hartford, Connecticut, WAAF in Worcester, Massachusetts, WCOZ also in Boston, and in Providence, Rhode Island, WBRU. As Bruce said, there'll be about a 20-minute intermission, during which we'll come back here for an exclusive interview with WNAW-FM's Vince Scelsa and Bruce Springsteen. But for now, we'll turn you back to your local stations.
This is WNAW-FM in New York.
And we are back at the Capitol Theater in Passaic, New Jersey, only on WNAW-FM now. Richard Neer along with Pat Dawson, who has drifted back.
He's cold, too.
He is cold. It's a cold night here in New York, or should we say New Jersey. We're outside again, as we were for the last couple of broadcasts here in Passaic. Pat, you hadn't seen Bruce until just recently, and now it's the second time you've seen him in a month. Any impressions to relate?
Yeah, it's too loud. I don't know, it's strange. I was just saying to somebody that maybe I'm getting old. A ripe old age of 28 is perhaps the point where you pass it, but I'm to that point now where real loud music, just I used to be able to listen to it, and now I get like through three or four songs and I seem to lose something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
So what I did was I just stuck my fingers in my ears and I watched them.
Which is a show in itself. As I was saying on the network before, he really, I mean, third or fourth song, when he does Spirit in the Night, he just walks out into the audience. And tonight was the deepest penetration I'd ever seen. He was out.
Are you allowed to say that on the radio?
Yeah, I think so. In New York only. So oh, this okay. Isn't on the network, so we can say that.
Yeah, they might not like it in the hinterlands.
He was out some 12 or 15 rows into the audience. And when he gets to the point where me and Janie are making love in the dirt, he finds a suitable female and sort of acts out the fantasy from the song.
Only in a very vague way, though. I mean, not really too brilliantly. I mean,
well, of course, you know, this still is
the thing I loved
PG.
About it is that he was about three quarters of the way through the first part of the set, the fans just started bringing their things up, and it was like the gift of the Magi. I mean, yeah, he kept getting one thing after another.
Right. I think we started that off. We gave him a WNAW-FM softball jersey, courtesy of the team.
It's true.
Which Dawson manages. And
did we give him a homer and away jersey?
Sure. We gave him the blue one. That's the away, I guess, with Springsteen number one, which has been retired in his honor, that number. Mm-hmm. And as you say, people are bringing up scrolls, and somebody actually brought him a wrapped gift. I guess they got confused with our Christmas concert.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. There was a wrapped gift, and he pulled it open, he looked at it, and he said, great, socks and underwear. How many times, right? How many times in your life, and you have to look impressed, and it looked like he was doing the same thing, you know, just like somebody had given him something that absolutely no use for in the world.
Yeah,
and it was like, oh, great.
it's kind of becoming a tradition. The only other performer I can think of that had that going was Melanie, when people would actually come up and bring her flowers on stage and such like. John Scheer has joined us now. He got finished with his little stint on stage. John, as I was walking through the crowd with him before, is probably, like Springsteen, the most accessible of the pop stars in the Western world. He just walks through there and they go, that's John Scheer. Nobody recognized me, but everybody's like, that's John Scheer. So, John, welcome aboard. We have a couple of minutes here locally to talk to you just a little bit about what's going on tonight.
Welcome,
your impressions.
Welcome to New Jersey. Well, it's real exciting. I mean, it's real exciting, and obviously having an act of Bruce's stature to return as the Stones did last spring to the Capitol. And it's just real exceptionally nice to have a local boy who made it real big to come back.
It's a nice way to open the season, too.
It sure is. It sure is. It's very exciting. I mean, the audience is so excited and so wired out there that it's almost difficult to just sit and watch the show and enjoy it in any kind of mellow way. The kids never really I don't think ever believe when an act, especially like Bruce, who they've followed, the kids in Jersey have followed for so many years, they can't really believe it's happening. They're sitting here in a 3,500 seat theater, and there he is, man. He's, you know, he's not in Madison Square Garden. He's on stage here.
What's the, obviously, because of the fact that you do this all the time and it's your work, it's your job, you probably have a better perspective on this than anybody else, but what's the difference between Bruce Springsteen of the Capitol and anybody else?
Well, he's, at least in my humble opinion, the most exciting and probably most important performer in the world today. So, I mean, there's a difference when you deal with somebody like that. The excitement level, although obviously excitement level for a lot of other groups, and certainly the Stones or Linda Ronstadt or somebody like that, who Marshall Tucker, who played the Capitol in the last year or so. It's just more special with Bruce. He's from Jersey, and it's just more special, and people are just enjoying themselves. To a degree that you very rarely get to see, and it's enjoyable as a producer of a show to see that.
Okay, John, we thank you for the information and the contrast on the other shows. We are now going to rejoin the network for a special interview that Vin Scalzo taped Friday night at the Palladium.
Hi, this is Vin Scalzo.
I chatted with Bruce Springsteen
backstage last Friday night after his show at the Palladium in New York. We talked about Summer on the Road, and while the band right now is at halftime here at the Capitol Theater in New Jersey, we thought you'd like to give a listen to Bruce backstage.
How you feeling?
Good.
It's been a good summer, huh?
Yeah, it's been a long, long summer. You know, it's been good, though. It's been, it was great. It was great to get back out and stuff. Yeah, everybody missed it. Everybody likes being, you know, on the road for the most part, you know? And
it's play still. It's still fun, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's like it's gotta be. You know, it's gotta be. Like tonight, crowds. This and the Garden crowds are the best crowds we've ever had in New York City. You know, I think because this crowd here tonight. This was a great crowd tonight. I thought. You know, this and all and the crowds all at the Garden. They were all fan. They were great, man. And it's so. That's what keeps you, you know, keeps you going, you know.
I think there's a possessive kind of feeling, too, that not only the folks in Jersey who are certainly looking forward to the Capitol dates, but people in New York, too. I mean, there's a combination in these two areas. It's really the same area. You know?
Yeah, a lot of people from New Jersey come.
People have this real possessive feeling towards you that, I don't know, do you get that in other places? I know you do in Philadelphia, probably in a couple of other markets.
Cleveland, you know, and... places where we went in early and we're popular sort of right away, you know, or pretty popular, you know. Places like Cleveland, get that, Houston, Texas, because we were, for some reason, you know, places where you went in early and we're popular right away, you get that. People always, there's always a deep, you know, a connection that stays, you know, no matter like whatever happens, you know.
Getting back to New Jersey for the Capitol Theater. All right. Are you looking forward to that? I mean, is that a positive thing for you to go back home to Jersey?
It's funny because these are like our last 10 shows, you know? Like tonight was, I think it was 9 more or something like that. This was like number 76 or something, you know? And we're at that part where, you know, it's like the home stretch, you know? What I should have done, the only thing I wish that I'd done this summer that I didn't do was play at the Garden State Arts Center. Which I always been avoiding, you know, because it was outside or something, you know. And it was hard because, like, in, you know, the places to play down home, especially down home where like, I live, or, like, well, Convention Hall I never played because I never liked the sound in there, you know. And every place else is, like, 1,000, 1,500 people, you know, like tops. Paramount. And I think back on it, I should, you know, I would have liked to done the Arts Center, you know. And they've been... You know, they asked me to come down a couple times. That was our only, I wish that I'd done that. Because it's hard to get in the heart there of New Jersey when the schools aren't open. You know, when you don't have the colleges for the gyms or the venues or something, you know, it's hard to get right down there in the heart of New Jersey, you know.
What's the aversion to doing outdoor shows?
The reason we sort of stopped doing outdoor shows was, I think it was generally a sound kind of thing. We played some outdoor shows when we first started. And then usually if we had a preference, we just said, well, let's not play outdoors, you know? I like some ambience or some sound coming from the room, whatever it is, you know? I like to have a certain amount of room sound going on, you know, and outside you get a very flat sound.
Because it all just goes out.
And yeah, it goes out and goes away, you know, yeah. It goes down a street or something. It's like, like the records and stuff, it's just not a flat sounding kind of band, you know, and we don't use echo that much when we play live or anything, so we depend on a certain amount of room sound, you know. And we generally stopped doing outside dudes. I think we did one in California tour before last, where like I had a real hard time with the sound. I wasn't happy with it. And I said, well, let's not play outside now, you know. And we did one on this tour in Denver, this place called Red Rocks or something.
Was that the place that's got a lagoon between
the big
you
Red
and
Rocks?
The
no, it's no lagoon, but it's like it's down in this cove with all these, you know, big red rocks around it, and it's got you get a certain sound off the rocks, you know,
the rock and roll off the rocks.
Yeah, you know, so that worked out real good. That was a good show. But I look back on it like summertime, you know, I would have liked to have played there, you know, but I should have done an outside thing, because we've been looking around. Like, then we said, well, let's look. You know, we were looking around for a place to play that was closer to home, even closer than the capital. And it's hard, you know. It was hard. It was a little late in the tour.
Yeah.
But we're gonna go back out, I'm pretty sure, in November and December. There's a lot of places in the States, you know, it's a big country, and there's a lot of places where we weren't very well known, you know. And until this time, I think we got out there good this time, because we spent some time out there. We're probably gonna go back out in the Midwest and play. And up in Canada, they've got some dates up for the tour already, you know. I don't know exactly how it looks out, but it's like, you know, find some, get some New Jersey shows in there, you know.
For the kids in South Jersey.
Yeah, yeah, like literally haven't gotten down there at all, you know. And it's a funny place, because before John Cher, really, there was no New Jersey shows except for what was at the colleges.
Right.
Whenever we played South Jersey, it was always at a college. You know, it was always at a college down there or something. You know,
there's such a special feeling about seeing you guys when you play at home too. You know,
yeah, it's fun. It's
Can you do you work on the road? Do you ride on the road?
Yeah, a little bit. I got about, I don't know, four or five songs, I guess. You know, four songs, I think.
Is there time to sit back and think, or do you work that way?
Whenever you feel like it, you know, it's like you play, and whenever it comes around, like as I play, I pick up the guitar, it's like you go and get a sandwich, you know, you raid the refrigerator, you know, it's like that, you know, you gotta wait, you wait till you're hungry, then you go do it, you know, and that's sort of the same thing with, that's how I like practice, I wait till like, you get an urge, it's like a same, like a hungry kind of thing to play, you know, and I pick it up and write or something, you know, if I can. There's no real discipline involved, you know.
You guys don't go crazy on the road, do you? It's the kind of stories that you hear about some bands where they just, they live everything to excess on the road.
I don't know. I don't know what the other guys do. You know, everybody, like, the show's over and everybody runs back to their room and, you know, breaks out the movie projectors or something. I don't know what they're doing back there.
What they do, evidently, is make a lot of noise. We were joined by the E Street Band.
This is an inside question.
Oh, nobody knows about that guy. It was against this guy in Neptune, New Jersey.
He moved
who
to
used to treat us right. He moved to Florida.
A mobile home concession there. What do you call that
he
thing?
He did, like, park? A trailer park.
Trailer park.
Yeah. Make but he used to fix us up in Chicken Island all the time.
He had
some
chicken.
My brother was the delivery boy.
Right, your brother
Thank
was
you,
the
Gary.
Delivery boy, man.
That's Gary Talon. <Talon's
laughs>
Wait, I think we finally hit upon a subject here that's worthwhile and interesting.
Food.
Where do you guys go for good Italian food when you're home? Yeah, that's a little.
D'Angelo. Forget it. I go to Miami's house.
I met Steve's mother a couple of weeks ago at the Garden, and I called her Mrs. Miami. And she loved it, man. She just like you.
Get that thing out of my face.
Real personable.
Like, what are you jumping on me for? Go over to the Phantom ass.
Ask me another question.
All right, Vinny, all right. Nah, really. Now, you're known as the disco king of DJs, right? Now, really, Vinny, when are you going to get hip and, you know, play some of this new wave stuff?
Clarence.
Hey.
Could you do that again for the four stations in Boston?
The king just left, folks. I'm sorry, but the king has left the building.
Well, this will be edited.
Censor.
You talk to those guys and take your life in your hands. Yeah. They got
fun.
They don't want to do nothing but go nuts. Oh, gotta get some Smiler's Delicatessen. Here I come.
Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, recorded backstage last Friday night at the Palladium Theater in New York. And we're just about ready to get back to Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band.
We are back live on WNEW FM as the network stations who joined us for the interview. I guess you could call it that Vin did backstage at the Palladium Friday night concludes. It was hard from where we are to actually hear the interview, but we did pick up some things, mainly the fact that Bruce and the E Street Band are sort of like a baseball team. I mean, they're real loose, and the camaraderie, the closeness
baseball
of the
team
guys.
Is winning, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I'm glad you clarified that. The closeness, the camaraderie, that sort of male thing that only a guy that's played team athletics or been in a rock and roll band can understand, that comes off so well on stage with him. It's obviously a team effort. We have John Scherer back here again, and we'll draw John to the microphone to
mumble
spill
a few
out some more
words.
Expertise. You might tell us a question which I was curious to know. How would you compare the kind of electricity we have tonight to the Rolling Stones when they were here?
The kind of feeling of, you know, wow, you know, we're seeing somebody this big. Talking about this big.
Yeah.
It's real working class rock and roll. Right?
Yeah, well, yeah, and it's real. I mean, I guess a lot of people, especially that live in New York, don't really understand the pride the kids in Jersey who for so many years growing up, you know, had to schlep into New York, you know, whether it be the Fillmore or the Academy or the Palladium or the Beacon or whatever. And to have, you know, their the bottom line. You know, their biggest, for lack of a better word, hero or the most important music star to come out of New Jersey since Frank Sinatra, probably ever. So to be playing here, and it's that kind of feeling. It's very chauvinistic in that way.
Since you've heard the bottom line mentioned and something this big, Stanley Snadowski has joined us here from the bottom line. Stanley, have you seen Bruce since he played the club 3 years ago?
I've seen him down at the club just to say hello, but I've never seen him perform since that time.
Well, how do you compare it with that week at the club?
The man communicates. He communicated then, he communicates now. People look at him, they emphasize with him, they feel good, they want to be with him, they want to be him. They're excited by him, and the performance here tonight is terrific. And John's doing an incredible job in New Jersey. It's the best place to listen to music in New Jersey. The theater is terrific, and everything is just perfect.
We're going to take a moment now so John can say something nice about the bottom line.
I get in equal, for free. Equal I time here. The only acts I want.
There you've had two of the better-known New York rock promoters patting each other on the back. In New York and New Jersey. Excuse me.
Was that the toughest period of time you've ever had at the bottom? Obviously, aside from the beginning when you were just setting the club up, was that the toughest to deal with in terms of people who wanted to come in and see the show and people who were able to see the show?
The second time we had Bruce at the club, it was perhaps the most difficult thing since Jerry Garcia in terms of the request for tickets, the desire just to be in the same small space with this man communicating. And it was a very, very tough time. Our people handled it real well, and everyone was cooperative. And the people who were lucky enough to come in to see the show just had a blast. They just enjoyed themselves tremendously.
Yeah, that's almost history now. I mean,
it seems like a long. I mean, the amazing thing is that was that week happened, the week that he played the bottom line, and it was the same time that the first album, that Born to Run, rather, was coming out, and really when the excitement all started to happen, just about that time. And as a matter of fact, I think we did a broadcast then, didn't we?
Yeah, we sure did. We sure did. And that was the excitement, as you say. That's what kicked it off. That's what got it started in the New York area, really. Philadelphia had kind of discovered Bruce a little bit before that and some other pockets around the country. I was just in Los Angeles last week, and they just now are discovering Bruce Springsteen for the first time. They are being turned on just like New York was turned on and New Jersey was turned on many years ago, so it's a new experience for them, and all you hear on the radio out there is Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band.
At the risk of grabbing the mics for Mrs. Dawson and Nir, I would just like to say that John and I and Alan, we thank WNEW-FM for the absolute marvelous job they're doing in covering live concerts from the bottom line, from the Capitol Theater. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to switch back to the network now, which will be me. In about 10 seconds, and we'll go back on stage live for Bruce Springsteen from the Capitol Theater in Passaic, New Jersey. And here we are back at the Capitol Theater in Passaic, New Jersey on the network. Richard Neer along with Pat Dawson, both of us from, I suppose, the flagship station of the network, WNAW-FM, as we get ready to go back on stage with Bruce.
For another hour and a half of music. And if the hour and a half is anything like the other concerts he's done in the New York area, it should be a good hour and a half of music.
You might have noticed right before the end there, he did Meeting Across the River. That's a song that he hasn't done live in about 2.5 years, and I understand he just added it to the show in New York City at the Palladium. He has done 3 shows at the Palladium and now doing 3 shows at the Capitol Theater in Passaic. The band is making their way back onto the stage. Now Bruce is at the microphone, so we'll go back for Bruce Springsteen at the Capitol Theater in Passaic, New Jersey.